My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Mike Show.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's my pleasure, as always, to welcome Sam Monson to the show. Sam has been so generous with his time, not just to our show here at WGR, but you'll hear him on other day parts. And he shared some big news just late last week, that he and Steve Palazzolo, who we've also had the pleasure of chatting with from time to time with PFF, are leaving Pro Football Focus to have their own podcast, Check the Mic, which they've been having, but now no longer under the PFF umbrella, instead at the 33rd team. And Sam, I mean, I don't know, this is how these kind of things go, but I feel like I know you. We've never met, but I feel like I know you. And when I saw your tweet, I was really excited for you. I'm sure Bulldog feels likewise.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. It's going to be an exciting time, a brave new world. Both myself and Steve, very kind of different backgrounds, very different starting points at PFF. But PFF has basically been both of our entire professional lives. So this is really kind of striking out on our own for the first time.
I was happy for you when I saw it, and I was also happy for us because I thought, like, this is a good reason to call Sam.
Well, have we ever needed one? I mean, right. Poor Sam is just, it's WGR. Haven't talked to those guys in a couple of days, so we thank you for that. Getting into the meat of the preseason and training camp, if you will, here, Sam, and there have been lots of developments, not necessarily surprisingly, injuries, J.J. McCarthy today, Matt Milano in Buffalo. We don't know what this one is, but he's been hurt a lot. And, you know, last year, I mean, I'm really interested in your thoughts on this because I, for one, and I feel like analytics has sort of pushed me in this direction, have not really taken linebacker that serious, relatively speaking, that seriously. An injury to your linebackers don't move the spread, right? But the Bills ended up last year losing to Kansas City and really just unable to get the job done because of injuries at that position, including Milano, who was injured in maybe week 5. So what would be the value of the loss here, Sam, if, you know, worst case scenario on him?
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant loss. Like, the injury to most players doesn't move the line. You know, I know the point you're making, but realistically, quarterbacks move the line and basically nothing else. And that's that's kind of the reality of the situation. But Milano is a really important player. I mean, he does make a significant difference to that defense. He changes the picture when he's on the field. He's able to squeeze passing lanes. He's instinctive. He's in the right place at the right time. He makes life more difficult for opposing quarterbacks. So, yeah, he's definitely a significant loss. If they do miss him for any period of time, it's not one that they can't overcome, and it's, you know, it's unlikely to be the difference between them being a contender or not this season. But yeah, it's definitely a blow.
What's your overall view of the Bills at this point, Sam? This notwithstanding, because we'll see when we get more information about it. But they did lose. We were talking about it last hour here. You know, with Hyde gone and Poyer gone and Tre'Davious White gone and like other veterans even on offense too. Diggs, obviously, Morse. Like every little blip feels like we're all just a little bit more on edge here, I think. How are you looking at the Bills as they move into 2024?
Yeah, I mean, the most important player is still the same. You know, Josh Allen is under center, and as long as Josh Allen is under center, this team is a playoff team. It's a contending team. It's a team that should be featuring at the sharp end of the season every single year. But there are probably more question marks about the team as a whole this season than there have been the last couple of years when they've had Josh Allen at the peak of his powers. And, you know, they've been looking to try and make it through the playoffs into a Super Bowl. There are, I think, more areas of concern, which doesn't necessarily mean that those will go badly, but just means that we're, you know, you're a little bit more worried or on edge heading into a season, I think, this year than in previous years.
And what would you then do with that feeling, right? I mean, I like to, and I think this is what Bills fans would want to think, Sam, that they've been so successful for 4 years. Yes, they have playoff losses, 3 to Kansas City, who's no slouch. I don't feel like that's a character flaw, but, you know, fans can get there pretty year by year. You know, the more often it happens, I think there might be a natural tendency to think, well, what's wrong? There's something wrong with them. Would you do that?
No, I mean, I think this is the challenge in a sport where only one team goes home happy, essentially, at the end of the year, right, is when do you say this team has reached a glass ceiling, something needs to change for them to get over the hump, versus when do you kind of acknowledge the positivity of knocking on the door every single year and say that's more important. Keep knocking and eventually the door will open, eventually you get over the hump. I think that's a really, really difficult thing to do. And it's not just in the NFL, it's other sports as well. I think that's a very difficult question for front offices, for owners to diagnose every single year, is to try and figure out when this is actually just variance. You know, one team wins every year, and right now that's been the Chiefs more often than not. But that doesn't mean that the other teams have this fundamental flaw. It just means that right now you're going up against the next dynasty, right? Like the teams that were going up against Tom Brady and the Patriots every year, ultimately the Brady and the Patriots were probably going to win most seasons. If you kept running up against them and you kept losing, it doesn't mean blow it up. It doesn't mean do something major to try and get over the hump. Like sometimes the reality is there's just a bigger, badder fish out there, and you have to deal with that. And I think that's kind of where Buffalo has been. The most important thing is just try and make sure that you're a contender every year. And Josh Allen gets you know, most of the way there. And we've already seen, you know, that game with 13 seconds left. Like, Josh Allen did his part. He scored. He put the Bills in the lead. He's shown that he can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and, you know, and get them in position to have that win. I think they just need to keep the difficult juggling act of maintaining a really good roster around him to give him the best chance of doing that.
With Sam Monson, the Steve and Sam, Check the Mic podcast, continuing, formerly with PFF. I'm going to have to get used to this,
Sam.
Yeah,
you're going to learn.
I apologize, but I will get used to it. Next time, I'm sure I'm going to just have it down. How does Buffalo compare with Baltimore in this very context? Like the Lamar Jackson has 2 MVPs, but I'm not sure most would be ready to say the same thing about his playoff career, what has happened to the Ravens. How would you compare the same teams, which are, you know, pretty much in the same bucket for this?
Yeah, and I think broadly speaking, they're probably in the same kind of conversation in terms of they're both good teams year on year. They're probably going to be contending. They're probably going to be in the playoffs most seasons, and that's job one. Where I think it's a little bit different is that Lamar Jackson hasn't played well in the postseason the way Josh Allen has most of the time. Allen's actually been a pretty good quarterback in the postseason and hasn't been rewarded for it yet. Lamar Jackson hasn't shown up in the postseason the way he has in the regular season, you know, with those couple of MVP awards. There's not necessarily much you can do about that. But it's something that he does need to improve on, that they need to figure out a way of unlocking. Like, how do we get this MVP version of Lamar Jackson on the field in January and make sure that when we run up against the best teams in the NFL and in the playoffs, we still have this guy who's capable of being the edge in our favor and going up against Mahomes and Josh Allen and all these other guys and being the MVP, being the guy that actually tilts the field in our favor. So far, they haven't had that guy, but I don't know that that's necessarily a solvable problem in terms of, you know, changing the roster construction, adding players here or there. They just need to figure out how to get Lamar Jackson playing his best when it matters the most.
Can I ask you one more team for this question, and that would be Dallas, of course, in the NFC. Like, they haven't lost to the Chiefs or anything, but the Niners, who are almost the Chiefs, right? They've won the conference twice. Dallas versus Baltimore, Buffalo, as a team that's been so good in the regular season, at least last year, you know, that's one example of that, but really have flamed out in the playoffs. How confident would you be in their chances?
Well, Dallas might be the most complicated team of them all because they've been knocking on the door for a few straight years now. That three straight seasons of 12 wins, only the Chiefs have won more regular season games than them over the last 3 years. And last season in particular, that playoff loss was the most concerning in terms of something else is going on there. Like, obviously, Dallas has now become this kind of meme, right? Their playoff failure, their postseason collapses, their inability to win a Super Bowl since those glory years of the 90s. Last year felt like they were aware of that. And, you know, this incredibly explosive offense. Dak Prescott had a legitimate MVP candidacy last year. CeeDee Lamb was better than every receiver, not named Tyreek Hill last season. Those two looked like they'd never met when they were playing in that postseason game. They weren't on the same page at all. They couldn't get in the same place at the same time. It was ridiculous. And the only possible conclusion you can draw from that is that this weight of history is now weighing down on them, and that's only going to increase year on year with every subsequent failure. So that, I think, is a real concern for Dallas, that generally your approach to that team would be, let's just keep going. We've got a really good roster. We've been doing great in the regular season. We're right there. But they, I think, showed a clear sort of sign of, you know, choking is a strong term, but that's kind of what it was. Like, they choked on the biggest stage, and that's what they need to figure out a way of getting past.
Yeah, the weird thing about them, like, I know, like, teams go through it, contracts with the you know, their highest paid players. I'm still struggling to figure out what the end game is for Dallas. It seems like they're working from an ownership and management standpoint to, I don't know, ostracize their best guys, maybe, like, especially Prescott. Is it possible that they feel like maybe they're using the C word internally too, Sam, and they don't want to pay Prescott $55 or $60 million on the new contract because they feel like they're never going to get there? Like, what is the end game with them?
No, I don't think that's what's going on. Though I think, honestly, you could come to that conclusion. Like, if you took a step back and you analyzed Dak Prescott and you sort of looked at where he is, where he's been, looked at his postseason performances, you could kind of come to the same conclusion that the Vikings did last year, which is, here's the number that we're not willing to go beyond. Like, this is what you top out at in terms of worth, and if the deal is going north of this, we're going to let you walk away and go somewhere else. You could definitely justify that approach for Dallas, but I don't think that's what they're doing. I think Jerry Jones fundamentally likes the drama. And I think he's kind of admitted this a few times, that right now people are talking about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, why isn't CeeDee Lamb in camp? Why isn't Dak Prescott's deal done? they're talking about Dallas, and he likes that. That puts their, that puts them, you know, in all the TV shows, that puts them in the news, that generates them dollars eventually, and ultimately that makes the Dallas Cowboys the most valuable sports franchise in the world, arguably. And he likes that. He thinks that's a positive thing. Now, that also makes their job more difficult when it comes to getting everybody under contract and managing the salary cap and all those kinds of things. And they do end up, I think, paying a price for that somewhere down the road. And that's kind of what they're dealing with the Dak Prescott deal. They've already done this dance once. And the last time they did it, the contract that they had to sign him to caused them all kinds of salary cap problems. So now they've got a ton of dead money that they've been kicking down the road that they're going to have to roll even further down the road when they sign him to this next monster deal. And they can't make a clean break on this sort of bad money contract that they've signed. So I think the Prescott deal is just more complicated than it should be because of the approach they've taken to all this. And it's the biggest one, right? It's the biggest sum of money that they're going to be allocating. And I think
nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think that's probably creating the holdup with the CeeDee Lamb contract and potentially with Micah Parsons' deal coming down the line as well. They've just sort of, everything is waiting on this first domino to fall, which is the biggest one.
Good point. Sam Monson with us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The biggest story, arguably, in the league right now or for a while has been Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. It's also a bit of a headache. And these things happen kind of every year where you just have basically a standoff. The reports today are back to Pittsburgh's ready. The deal's in place. The Niners are just not happy with it, and they want to see if Ayuk will take their deal. How are you reading this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the 49ers have kind of made a mess of it. They get worse by trading away Brandon Ayuk now. Maybe if they'd done it before the draft, you know, they could have maybe traded up, got a different receiver. I mean, obviously they brought in Ricky Pearsall to just sort of mitigate anything, but the gap between Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall is probably going to be fairly significant, at least in year one. So they're almost certainly going to get worse, and they can't afford to keep them. I mean, number one, they've offered him a contract. Number two, you know, they have the cap space to make it happen, even factoring in, you know, a deal coming down the line at some point for Brock Purdy, Trent Williams wanting more money. Like, they've got the space to make this happen, and they've just dragged their feet on it to the point where he may have already felt like the bridge is burned and just wants out and wants to go somewhere else. And Pittsburgh is willing to pay him what he wants. They're willing to make the kind of trade collateral that the 49ers will take. They just either need to make the deal happen, like accept that they've made a mess of it and let him go, or up the money to the point where he's going to take their deal and keep him in the building.
Isn't that odd that Pittsburgh is the chosen destination? Like, I understand not wanting to go to New England, a certain reputation that precedes the current regime, you know, and they're starting over at quarterback, but at least they're starting over. Like, Pittsburgh is just sort of recycling, and I don't know. It's a weird spot, I think, at this point in time to hitch your wagon to them if you're Brandon Ayuk, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think New England definitely made sense to turn down, which is kind of crazy. I mean, somebody was saying, you know, imagine saying 10 years ago that it makes perfect football sense to turn down the Patriots but be all in for the Browns, you know?
Right.
And that's ultimately true right now, that the Browns is a way better situation for Brandon Ayuk to step into to try and win football games than the Patriots. Their offense may really struggle this season. I think the Browns would have made a lot of sense. I think Pittsburgh does make sense as well. With Mike Tomlin there, you know that they're going to be pretty good this season. It's a little bit up in the air right now what the quarterback situation is going to be, with Russell Wilson having been injured for so much of training camp so far, Justin Fields getting the reps. But they have an opening at receiver. You know, George Pickens is there. He's a really good player. But they traded away Deontay Johnson. Brandon Ayuk could come in and really turn that into a very formidable wide receiver group with just that one move. The offensive line is improved. That could be a very good football team. And I think Ayuk looks at that and says, it's the right environment. The quarterback situation may not be ideal, but it's good enough that he can look good and that the team has a shot of winning.
The Bills are in Pittsburgh this week. There'll be a joint practice and then a game Saturday. Chicago was just here. Caleb Williams played. The Bears had already had a game under their belts, but were more impressive than the Bills, to put it one way, on Saturday. Williams had some great throws. Sam, they're not exactly a dark horse, Chicago, in terms of the betting markets. Around even money to make the playoffs, the last I looked. Do you think, like, would you bet on them to be a playoff team? And after that, who might be a dark horse team for you that you think maybe is going a little bit underappreciated?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd actually bet on it, simply because even money feels about right to me. I think they have a real shot at doing it because of that. You know, Caleb Williams has a chance to be genuinely special. I mean, you can see when you watch him play, the high-end stuff that he's able to do is rare, and I think he's better at the the kind of routine stuff that is the real difference between him succeeding or failing year one. How much are they going to get him to be able to stay in a pocket, go through a progression, make simple reads, and deliver the ball quickly without stressing his offensive line? I think he's already shown he can be quite good at that. And I think there was that in his tape in college as well. He just didn't do it that much because he needed to make the plays. You know, he needed to play hero ball because if they didn't score 40, they weren't winning the game. So I think when you look at that receiving core there in Chicago, Caleb Williams coming in, an offensive line better than people probably think it is, that group could be very good quite quickly, and that makes them a contender, at least for a playoff spot, if not, you know, a true Super Bowl contender. That gives them a shot at the postseason. A dark horse team I kind of like, I think the Cardinals could surprise a lot of people. The defense has still got a lot of holes, but Kyler Murray being back, a different dynamic there. Marvin Harrison coming in, I think, could make that entire passing game look better. It lets Michael Wilson take a step down the depth chart, and I think he'll be really good this season in year two now that he doesn't have to be their number one. They've got players in the backfield. Like, that could be a very good offense. And their defense was feisty, even though they don't have a ton of talent there.
What do you make of the Eagles, Sam? I'm reminded of the story from last week. Mike and I weren't together last week, so we haven't even talked about this. But the news about how, I think it was Jeremy Fowler with ESPN, had a lengthy report about how Hurts at some point after the regular season, before the playoffs began, reached out to Wink Martindale, who'd already left the Giants by then, right? That was a temper tantrum, and he went, you know, he was gone. And Hurts reached out to Martindale, the NFC East opponent, for advice on how to handle like blitzes they were using and stuff. And I'm sitting here in Buffalo thinking, like, how are we reacting if Josh Allen is calling Vic Fangio on the phone before the playoffs to find out, like, hey, how are you beating me? I don't know. What do you make of the Eagles?
Yeah, so I think it sort of highlights the problems that they had last year. You know, that thing absolutely imploded and spiraled out of control. I think it was absolutely a coaching failure on both sides of the ball, and ultimately that rolls up to Nick Sirianni, the head coach. It seems crazy to say that a guy that was in the Super Bowl the year before would be on the hot seat following a season, but I think it was legitimate. Like, that was a complete institutional coaching failure, and Sirianni was completely unable to pull them out of that death spiral. So it made sense to at least ask the question, you know, is he the right guy to bring this back and bounce back the following year? And ultimately they decided he was, but that all starts with coaching. So from Jalen Hurts' perspective, I think I can't fault them for going and talking to a defensive guy, a blitz-heavy guy. They definitely did not have answers for the blitz, certainly all last season, but definitely down the second half of the year. So I think fair play to Hurts for reaching out to a guy like that and say and trying to find the answers on his own, because none were forthcoming from within the building. Obviously, that reflects extremely badly on the building itself. Well, those people got fired at the end of the year. So Right. Now I think the single most important thing that happened to Philadelphia is that upgrade on both sides of the ball in terms of coordinators. Kellen Moore coming in on the offensive side, Vic Fangio coming in on the defensive side. That should have significantly upgraded the coaching on both sides of the ball, and that should be a big part in helping them avoid what happened to them last year.
Sam, thank you so much, as always. Congrats again on the new venture. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Sam Monson, formerly Pro Football Focus. Check the mic with Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson. They were podcasting for a long time. Yep. This is the same show, but it's not under the PFF umbrella. I wonder if that kind of thing we were just talking about happens a lot.
Players calling opposing, yeah.
Or just anybody they know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't have to be your arch rival's coach. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are teammates, ex-teammates on every roster almost. So, I think that that's probably normal. Is it different if it's a head coach? Is it different if it's a certain team? Maybe. I think you just don't want anybody to know.
That's the fact that it got out is probably the bigger problem. But I don't know, man. Like, if it's common, I wouldn't want it happening on my watch. Like I got your answers. I got chalkboards. I got video. I got everything here. Like they're paying me millions of dollars to help you, and you're calling a guy that no. Like just I don't know. I would have a hard time with that. I appreciate wanting resources, but and craving information, but I don't know. I feel like that was out of line.
It's not calling an ex. It's calling like your wife or something like that.
Right.
You know, advice on something
that
may not work. But, you know, maybe it works great. 803-0550 is the number. Talking Bills, Matt Milano leaves practice early. What of it? Sal will join us in a little more than half an hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with lines open on WGR.
I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents.
Matt LaFleur he's not here for your who's your number one receiver. Would you like to hear that sort of level of conviction from Joe Brady or Sean McDermott? Will it grate on Bill's coaches to be asked all the time, who's the number one? What's the pecking order? Anything like that?
I hope not. I don't need the speech. I mean, I don't know, the Packers have a stable of good-looking young players, which is very different from what the Bills have. The Bills have a draft pick that you can be as hopeful as you want to be about. There certainly are things to like. The rest of it is just sort of pieced together. So they're very different situations. I think even asking the question when you've got four guys, maybe, or is it more than that, that are all kind of, at the same point in their careers. They're not the highest draft picks, but they're draft picks. There's pedigree to an extent, second round, third round, whatever, right? Not top of the first round. And they've all had moments. They look good. I think it's entirely reasonable to ask that coach, who's going to be your number one guy? Or do you have a number one guy? Like, is someone going to emerge from this group and be the new Devontae Adams here? I don't know really how to even do that. Because they're really everyone except for Coleman. And I mean, Shakir too, but he's a fifth. He's not even, doesn't even meet the criteria necessarily of these Packers guys I'm describing.
Nope.
They've all established already that they're not number one guys. So.
If not, at least somewhat due to circumstances, but right.
Sure. But the Packers, it's a little more open-ended, I think, in Green Bay, where you could look at their stable of guys and go like, which one's going to be the best? And I get the coach not wanted to answer that specifically. Oh, I like Dobbs the best. It's not going to do that, but someone there is probably going to become the 100 catch guy. I would guess. I I don't know if that guy is on the Bills.
They're a tough team for drafts, but they're also easy. It's tough to know the order. That's why this question gets asked. They're all about the same draft pedigree or close enough. Watson being the highest, all about the same age, they're all young, and usage-wise, down the stretch, into the playoffs last year, it was different guys, different weeks. Jaden Reed was maybe the most popular, but then in the playoffs, he wasn't. Was he injured? There were different. It was hard to read the Packers, which is what he wants.
Right.
But in drafts, it's easy because you just pick any of them. Doesn't matter. You don't know, don't worry about it. Just pick any of them. They're not all that different in draft capital. Like Reed and Watson go kind of close together, and then Love in the middle. And you can get to Dobbs easily. You can get to Wicks. Wicks is sort of everybody's darling in this. Then you get to Bo Melton, Bulldog. That's when it gets really good. Bo Melton.
It's getting dark out.
Musgrave and Kraft. Which one? I don't know. But I want some of it. It's funny. I'm not looking for credit. I'm just making an observation. It's rare for me to make like strong predictions that, especially going against the grain, because I'm such a student of what is the consensus, what are most people, predicting, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have to remind myself in drafts is don't be afraid to stray from that, plant your flags, whatever. But I tend to play the game, talk on the radio with you all these years, like, well, we really don't know, but here are the odds. I like odds. Mm-hmm. I find safety and comfort in that. So I want to know that. But it is kind of fun to plant a flag. And yeah. Last year with Green Bay, I did it. And I told you, we talked about them a lot. What is Jordan Love? He certainly had his doubters. But what I said, my take last year was, I'm betting on him because, you know, someone else is going to say how lucky they've been to have Rodgers and Favre before Rodgers. But I do think it's a competent organization that has sat there with Jordan Love, giving him this opportunity. He's been having been there for years, and they did nothing else to, you know, they made no insurance plan. Like, it was going to be him. And they would all have looked like fools if he didn't succeed. They dumped Aaron Rodgers for this guy. Right. This draft pick cost them Rodgers. It fractured the relationship. And now we're here. It had to work. Like, they played it like they knew it would work. And by the way, for half the season, that did not seem like such a great take.
No, it didn't look great. And I'm optimistic for him and them, because I'm inclined to believe it. But I wonder internally how much trepidation, if any, there was, because they, like you just said, they've known him now. He got to sit there, so like you get to know if you should trust a guy maybe by watching him have to be subjugated like that. Like, you first round pick and you're sitting here 3 years. Wow, this stinks. So, you know, you get to know what a guy's all about maybe, and you can trust him. But even with that said, it's a half a season of being great. And I don't know, man. Like, it's a lot of dough that's on the table there. So, you know, I think it'll work. I'd bet on it working for them. But it still felt kind of soon, just circumstantially, the way they handled him to begin with. I mean, they had to give him a contract before he even started a game. Like, a second. They had to do something. They had to adjust it. Right. And that hardly, almost never happens with franchise quarterbacks. And then from there, it was right to, okay, here's the big truck. That's a lot. It's a lot pretty quickly. But
I think LaFleur is really good. And I love their players. The stable, as you called it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, man, what a foolish gambit it would have all seemed if he didn't have it. I think they knew. And that was the bet. I would still bet it.
I wonder, man, you know, like, you have so much invested in the player, the quarterback, like, you really want that to work. I wonder if they didn't break out and he didn't break out the way they did and he did in the second half of last year and then have that incredible playoff performance in Dallas, if they sort of stumble along, would it be, well, you got to draft receivers in the first round. We can't get by with the, you know, just your name here from the third round or whatever, but it's worked. So there's no question about it. I just wonder if, like, that would have given them an out and Love an out if it didn't work. Well, we got to go get a number one. Yeah, everybody that doesn't have one, if it works, you're made. You're in great shape. If you don't have one and it doesn't work, then it's time to go shopping. Which, you know, maybe doesn't exactly correlate, but that's, I think, how teams will do it. I predict that the Bills struggle on offense this year. They will go big receiver hunting next year, and this talk about having, you know, everybody eats and all this stuff will go flying out the window.
I do like wondering that, because they just, I mean, I don't know, that's not fair. Like, Diggs has been here, so we've all been talking about getting another receiver for 3 years.
Even while he was here.
He was here.
Yeah.
And Diggs exists, existed. So you can't really bang on the Bills fully for not doing that. I mean, they had a great top 10 receiver in the league on the team. Davis was playable. You know, they were not ground zero at receiver. But in this scenario, they would be. And that's the question you just ask is, so do next year they go get another Diggs? Because that's what everybody will want if this year flops. Mm-hmm. Maybe they would. I mean, it is a move he made, being to get Diggs in the first place, and it worked. A quote, former Bill has retired. A quote, former Bill. Mm-hmm. We will end the suspense that's already building. after the break. Sal joins us at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Sorry, just texting. Cannot get my phone to forget the quote word THAR. No matter how many times
THAR.
I delete it.
THAR.
So no matter how many times I change, so my phone changes that to THAR.
Seems reasonable.
I find my way to be able to delete THAR from its memory, but it doesn't go away. You know, just like a bad date.
Sure. Yeah.
Or a thing you said that you can't get back, how it haunts you.
Yeah.
Quote, former Bill, Tavon Austin has retired. Tavon Austin, Bills wise, is a couple things. He was here 2 years ago for about a month. Didn't ever get on the field, I believe. I'm not sure he was ever active, but he didn't play in a game for the Bills.
No. Did he even play in was it during the season? Or was
yes.
It, okay. Yeah.
It was like cuts to October, I think I read. I'm going to double check that, okay. But I think it was.
But he's tied to the Bills in another way, isn't he?
He was here for camp too, for some of it, in that 2022 season. Yes, the manual trade.
Right.
Is the Rams trading up
from
8 picks.
16 to 8.
From 16 to 8 to draft Tavon Austin, who was, I mean, I'm just sort of being reminded of this, but a spectacular
electric West Virginia player. College player. Yeah, it was fun to watch.
That's Jeff Fisher with the Rams, and the Bills trade down from 8 to 16. What did they get? So the Rams got a third also. It was a 1 and a 3. For a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 7. And the Bills drafted Kiko Alonso and Marquise Goodwin with those
two and
new
threes.
Picks.
Yeah.
Chris Gregg, a tight end, I believe, in the 7th
Arkansas,
round.
Yeah.
So, quote former Bill Tavon Austin, the picture of Austin on Pro Football Reference is in a Bills jersey. He played actual NFL games for 5 other teams. But his picture is a Bills picture, and his nickname there is Pocket Rocket. So somebody apparently once called Tavon Austin Pocket Rocket.
Go figure, little fast guy. I remember, I think, I should really know, Chris Gregg, I remember one thing about Chris Gregg, I'm pretty sure, that it, in a game, maybe it was a preseason game, maybe it wasn't, he was at the sideline, like he was on the field for the play, ran a pass route, and I think was standing out of bounds when the ball got to him. Like he was like literally like not trying to keep his feet in, he was just out of bounds, and the ball came to him. Like I don't remember if he got blocked out of bounds or what, how it happened, but the ball went to him and he was standing out of bounds. I'm almost sure I have Pittsburgh in my head for it, but maybe he made a play in Pittsburgh one time too. I don't know, but I feel like he caught a ball out of bounds.
2 career touchdowns, 1 at the Steelers.
Okay.
Remember, it was a miserable game with Manuel. They just got completely outclassed by Pittsburgh, but they did score a touchdown.
And it was Chris Gregg.
At the end.
Yeah.
And it was Chris Gregg to make it 23-10.
All right.
And then in Detroit, the following year, he caught one from Kyle Orton. Both 2-yard passes. He was not a deep play threat.
The stats don't indicate that, yes.
This is the laser pointer game.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep, that's right. Kyle, yep, that's right.
I used Dan Carpenter on Immaculate Grid today.
How'd that work out
Bills
for
and Dolphins.
Yeah.
There it is, a freebie. Free space
what kind
for
of score was he?
Not high. 0.9%. That'll
good.
Take. I'll take 0.9% every single time.
Yeah.
Bills and Panthers. I should have done way better. I don't know. I never finish these. I just sort of open them in the morning and then go for a while and then leave it.
Yeah. I haven't finished one in a long time either. If the Sabres are on the hockey one, I'll go in and answer the Sabre questions and then just leave.
Yeah,
they just want to see like what how well can I do? You're gonna get like a 0.4% on something. Oh yeah, and then like whatever. I don't really care about the Islanders.
No, who cares about exactly?
I'm leaving now.
Bills and Panthers. I think there are dozens of players, but yeah. I went with Josh Norman. Don't settle for Josh Norman.
No, Mike Tolbert is probably a better.
I've done him in the past, if you will. And Damir Bird might be next.
Oh boy. Well, you have to. There's a long way to go. There's a long way to go from here to the 53.
It's got
to
be a real game.
I've said it once. I've said it 100 times.
There's so far to go. Sal will know all about how that goes, and he will join us after sports. What is the deal with Matt Milano after he left practice today? That's could be a big one. And Ben DiNucci hype has already started to build. The Ben DiNucci excitement for Saturday. What's the plan here for Saturday at the Steelers? There'll be a practice in Pittsburgh before that. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sal Capaccio after sports here on WGR.
Ew.
And that was the bet. I would still bet it.
I wonder, man, you have so much invested in the player, the quarterback. Like, you really want that to work. I wonder if it didn't, if they didn't break out and he didn't break out the way they did and he did in the second half of last year and then have that incredible playoff performance in Dallas. If they sort of stumble along, would it be, well, you got to draft receivers in the first round. We can't get by with just your name here from the third round or whatever. But it's worked, so there's no question about it. I just wonder if like that would have given them an out and Love an out if it didn't work. Well, we got to go get a number one. Everybody that doesn't have one, if it works, you're made. You're in great shape. If you don't have one and it doesn't work, then it's time to go shopping. Which, maybe doesn't exactly correlate, but that's, I think, how teams will do it. I predict that the Bills struggle on offense this year. They will go big receiver hunting next year, and this talk about having, everybody eats and all this stuff will go flying out the window.
I do like wondering that. Because they just, I don't know, it's not fair. Like, Diggs has been here. So, I just feel like we've all been talking about getting another receiver for 3 years.
Even while he was here.
He was here.
Yeah.
And Diggs exists, existed. So, you can't really bang on the Bills fully for not doing that. I mean, they had a great top 10 receiver in the league on the team. Davis was playable. They were not ground zero at receiver, but in this scenario they would be, and that's the question you just ask is, so do next year they go get another Diggs, because that's what everybody will want if this year flops. Mm-hmm. Maybe they would. It is a move he made, being to get Diggs in the first place, and right. It worked. A quote former Bill has retired.
Quote.
A quote former Bill. Mm-hmm. We will end the suspense that's already building. After the break, Sal joins us at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Sorry, just texting. Cannot get my phone to forget the quote word, THAR. No matter how many times
THAR,
I delete it.
Thar.
So no matter how many times I change, so my phone changes that to thar.
Seems reasonable.
I find my way to be able to delete thar from its memory, but it doesn't go away.
Mm.
Just like a bad date.
Sure. Yeah.
Or a thing you said that you can't get back, how it haunts you.
Yeah.
Quote, former Bill, Tavon Austin has retired. Tavon Austin, Bills wise, is a couple things. He was here 2 years ago for about a month. Didn't ever get on the field, I believe. I'm not sure he was ever active, but he didn't play in a game for the Bills.
No. Did he even play in was it during the season? Or was
yes.
It, okay, yeah.
It was like cuts to October, I think I read. I'm going to double check that, okay. But I think it was.
But he's tied to the Bills in another way, isn't he?
He was here for camp too, for some of it, in that 2022 season. Yes, the manual trade
right
is the Rams trading up from 8 picks.
16 to 8.
From 16 to 8 to draft Tavon Austin, who was, I mean, I'm just sort of being reminded of this, but a spectacular
electric West Virginia player. College player. Yeah, it was fun to watch.
That's Jeff Fisher with the Rams, and the Bills trade down from 8 to 16. What did they get? So the Rams got a third also. It was a 1 and a 3 for a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 7. And the Bills drafted Kiko Alonso and Marquise Goodwin with those
two and
new picks.
Yeah.
Chris Gregg, a tight end, I believe, in the 7th
Arkansas
round.
Yeah.
So, quote former Bill Tavon Austin, the picture of Austin on Pro Football Reference is in a Bills jersey. He played actual NFL games for 5 other teams, but his picture is a Bills picture, and his nickname there is Pocket Rocket. So somebody apparently once called Tavon Austin Pocket Rocket.
Go figure, little fast guy. I remember, I think, I should really know, Chris Gregg, I remember one thing about Chris Gregg. Ooh. I'm pretty sure that it, in a game, maybe it was a preseason game, maybe it wasn't, he was at the sideline, like he was on the field for the play, ran a pass route, and I think was standing out of bounds when the ball got to him. Like he was like literally like not trying to keep his feet in. He was just out of bounds, and the ball came to him. Like I don't remember if he got blocked out of bounds or what, how it happened, but the ball went to him and he was standing out of bounds. I'm almost sure I have Pittsburgh in my head for it, but maybe he made a play in Pittsburgh one time too. I don't know, but I feel like he caught a ball out of bounds.
2 career touchdowns, 1 at the Steelers.
Okay,
remember it's a miserable game. With Manuel. They just got completely outclassed by Pittsburgh. But they did score a touchdown.
And it was Chris Gregg.
At the end.
Yeah.
And it was Chris Gregg to make it 23-10.
All right.
And then in Detroit, the following year, he caught one from Kyle Orton. Both 2-yard passes. And he was not a deep play threat.
Yes, the stats don't indicate that. Yes.
This is the laser pointer game.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep, that's right. Kyle, yep, that's right.
I used Dan Carpenter on Immaculate Grid today.
How'd that work out?
Bills and Dolphins.
Yeah.
There it is, a freebie, free space.
What kind
of
score was he?
Not high.
Yeah.
0.9%.
All right,
that'll
good.
Take I'll take 0.9%
sure.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Bills and Panthers, I should have done way better. I don't know. I never finish these. I just sort of open them in the morning and then go for a while and then leave it.
Yeah. I haven't finished one in a long time either. If the Sabres are on the hockey one, I'll go in and answer the Sabre questions and then just leave.
Yeah.
I just want to see, like, how well can I do here? Can I get, like, a 0.4% on something? Oh, yeah! And then, like, whatever. I don't really care about the Islanders.
No, who cares about... Exactly.
I'm leaving now.
Bills and Panthers, I think there are dozens of players, but
yeah.
I went with Josh Norman. Don't settle for Josh Norman.
No, Mike Tolbert is probably a better.
I've done him in the past, if you will. And Damir Bird might be next.
Oh boy! Well, you have to. There's a long way to go. There's a long way to go from here to the 53.
It's got
to
be a real game.
I've said it once. I've said it 100 times.
There's so far to go. Sal will know all about how that goes, and he will join us after sports. What is the deal with Matt Milano after he left practice today? That could be a big one. And Ben DiNucci hype has already started to build. Ben DiNucci excitement for Saturday. What's the plan here for Saturday at the Steelers? There'll be a practice in Pittsburgh before that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sal Capaccio after sports here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.